Hey everybody, my name is Beth and I am a compulsive eater and bulimic. And I will it's interesting. I love how you talk about, refraining from speaking, putting too much emphasis on specific foods other than, naming some trigger foods or thing or categories perhaps, but because to cut to the chase, I will say that there are some specific trigger foods, but for me, it has mostly been about the behaviors. Sometimes trigger foods will lead to certain behaviors, but for me, my abstinence consists of behaviors that I do and those that I abstain from for the most part. But I'll be more specific about that in a bit. I will just say that, oh shoot, I was going to time myself. Sorry. I think I forgot to hit start. So there we go. Okay. So I will just say that I grew up in an alcoholic family, and that is just to say that there was a lot of chaos and not a lot of guidance or talking about feelings or consistency modeled by any of the adults around me. And that we did sort of live a bulimic lifestyle. There was lots of money and lots of food, or there was nothing, and it was sort of no, nothing, nowhere, nothing in between that. And so I remember sort of my brothers and I developed this way of being that was like, as soon as things came into the house, we would sort of eat as much of it as we could. Because otherwise everybody else was going to eat it, so I think I have some sort of come by it honestly roots in my compulsive eating. But what happened for me was that when I was around 10 or 11, there was some violence and very upsetting stuff happening in my household. And I very specifically remember this being forced to sit at the dining table and continue to eat while something was happening and being, literally told, you better eat or this will happen to you too, kind of thing. And so having to eat through that discomfort and very constricted throat and upset stomach and all of that. And when we were all released from the table, I remember running to the bathroom and just throwing up because I felt just physically ill. But what happened in that moment was that I felt this sense of relief, and I had been holding everything in and stuffing it literally and figuratively. And that sort of was the beginning of my bulimia. It was like, oh, this is a way for me to check out and feel numb, a huge sense of relief, and maybe even a sense of control. I think that that is true for most bulimics and anorexics, but I've been told. But for me personally, it was that sense of sort of being a little out of it, a little spaced out, huge relief. And I did that periodically for quite a few years until till I was say 14 or so, when I discovered alcohol and drugs. And secret, secret. They worked way better for me than food ever did in terms of stuffing my feelings. So that is a part of my story. It's no secret, I'm sure. And so the bulimia and the compulsive eating, I just like don't remember it being an issue for many, many years until I got sober in our BIF, our mother program, if you will, the beverage program. And as some people call it, and at age 28. And about a year and a half into my sobriety, I rediscovered because AA saved my life. I am of service to this day. I sponsor people, I have a sponsor, all of that in that program. But for me, it did not get at some of the underlying issues, I think, the way that OA did for me. And so when I was sober around a year and a half, I was full-fledged into the bulimia and hiding out and ordering large quantities of food. I was living by this time, I grew up on the East Coast, and by this time I was living in Venice, California, and in Southern California, and holing up for half a day and then pulling it all together again and going back to work. And it was horrible. And the day came pretty quickly where I was so isolated and depressed that I had this thought that I would go and get a whole bunch of heroin. I'm sober like a year and a half at this time, by this time, mind you, and kill myself with it. That was how painful my behavior around food had gotten. I was just completely spiritually bereft and helpless, hopeless, and my life was completely unmanageable. And I recognized it, and that thought, when I had that thought, it really scared me. And I went to an OA meeting that night. I got an OA sponsor. I did everything I was told to do. I struggled with abstinence and with the bulimia off and on, but I tried a variety of different OA offshoots and things, and that was back in the gray sheet days and all kinds of things. And I've had a variety of food plans. Generally, the thing that's worked best for me is to write it down and call it in or take a picture of it as, cell phones and things started happening. And being of service, having service commitments at meetings has been really helpful for me. I mean, I remember there was a meeting where sometimes I would be the only person who would show up, and this was in Santa Monica, California, and it was a literature meeting. And, I called my sponsor in AA actually and complained, "These OA people, they don't even show up for the meeting," or, whatever. And my sponsor said, "Well, why don't you wait in case a newcomer comes? And you have literature there, right?" And so I would sit there and read the literature for the hour. And several times new people showed up, and it's one addict talking to another, and that really saved me. And I'm so grateful for those experiences, because it really helped me see how my sponsor was essential, fellowship was essential, hearing others experience strength and hope is so powerful and amazing. But the bottom line of this and any 12-step program for me is about the conscious contact I have with my higher power. And one thing I know for sure is that my behavior around food, compulsive eating, the bulimia certainly, put me in a place where I have a lack of clarity and I get really vague. And that has led me to, other programs, like most recently Debtors Anonymous, because that lack of clarity at the living in fear of any kind of self-centered fear, financial, you name it, that cuts me off from my connection to my higher power, and so what, in terms of my abstinence, my bottom line abstinence is no bulimia. And as a result of that, for me, and I've done that for 30 plus years now, but as a result of that, I probably have a somewhat more flexible food plan than many, I will just say that. But there are certain things that, I eat where and when it's appropriate, so getting up in the middle of the night and eating is, not technically appropriate. Eating standing at the kitchen counter is not technically appropriate for me. This is all just for me. Eating without things put on a plate. So eating out of boxes, bags, or containers, in front of the refrigerator, anything like that, has is sort of like, oh yeah, really want to be doing this because it turns into something mindless, and that's where my compulsivity comes in, right? Like I open the fridge to put groceries away, and next thing you know, I'm like shoveling something down out of a container, you know? And I really do, for the most part, stay away from white flour, particularly glutinous flour, for a lot of physical health reasons, and anything that contains gluten, and definitely sugar, you know? Not to say that I don't ever eat them, but I pretty much know if something is like mostly sugar, I try to stay away from it. You know, I avoid it at all costs sometimes. And the thing for me, I've noticed is that there are certain times when I can eat certain foods that I might not have been able to eat for years without triggering some kind of a binge. But it's usually, I'm very upfront about it with my sponsor. And, you know, I'll say I'm going to this thing tonight and, you know, it's a large dinner and I don't want to make, you know, if it happens to be that they're glutinous things, I might eat them, but they'll be appropriately blah, 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 blah. So I have some flexibility with that with my sponsor. And there are times when I say, I'm honest with my sponsor where I feel really slippery right now. I go to work and the snack drawer is calling me all day long. And so therefore I'm gonna like commit to know this, know that, et cetera. And, you know, I record my meals ahead of time. I write down what I'm gonna eat for three meals. I have three meals and, you know, one sort of metabolic kind of thing, like usually mid-afternoon or, you know, somewhere between 3 to 5 p.m. It's usually just a piece of fruit, but and when I find myself slipping away from that, that's when I know that there are things going on with me. And so it's been really helpful to have that level of clarity, to write the things down. And sometimes it's like, oh shoot, I don't know, but it's like two servings of vegetables and a starch and some amount of, you know, hand-sized portion of protein, you know, like I know the approximate amounts. I'm not a weigher and measurer. I have done that for periods of time, and it worked really well for me for the time that it worked. But sometimes I don't know exactly what I'm going to have for lunch, or I haven't gone to the grocery store or whatever. And but I can still record, you know, the basic idea. Mostly, it's like, oh, I know what I'm eating ahead of time. So I think that a couple of things for me that I want to be sure to mention. And again, this is just for me. This is all about clarity for me. The longer I'm sober, the longer I'm abstinent, and now solvent as well in Debtors Anonymous, the more I recognize that this is a spiritual program. I will be forever grateful for the 12 and 12, the OA 12 and 12, because I did the steps in AA a couple of times. But it wasn't until I had the questions at the end of step four in this where I was like, oh, that's a thing? Okay, yeah, definitely, you know? And I really got down to some other causes and conditions, like the way I did the fourth step in AA was really helpful and necessary, made me feel a part of, and like do that with people in that program. But you know, my step two constantly needs work. I need to be restored to sanity, you know, because I can get a little insane around like, oh, that's a thing, you know, like I can make up my own rules and be like, oh, well, that's fine, you know, that I did that. It's no big deal. You know, I don't do it all the time or whatever, you know, and rationalization. So that's my 15 minutes, I think. So I'm going to give myself just a couple more minutes to wrap up. Sorry, I want to do that because I have a really hard time with time. Okay, so the past 2 years, my life has taken a pretty bizarre turn, and you know, this is my story and not my. I won't really say what happened specifically to cause my life to be in complete upheaval, but I will say I'm 65 and was planning on retiring this past birthday, and that for reasons could not happen. It's what led me to Debtors Anonymous, and I'm just going to say this because it is my story, and I know this is an OA meeting, but one of the things that happened for me was I recognized, you don't have to go all the way down in any program to have it work for you. You don't have to be a hardcore bulimic, spitting up blood or something, before you come. And you don't have to weigh 400 pounds to, earn a seat in OA, right? And more and more, I feel it's important to say, like we can stop at any time. And the question is, when is it not feeling good to me? And that moment, I had that spiritual death moment where I wanted to kill myself because of my bulimia. And from the outside, I don't think, I was pretty ex successful at my job and other things. So people wouldn't have really thought anything, but for me, that was my bottom. And the thing with the Debtors Anonymous was a lack of clarity. I had just gotten really vague, about money. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know how much it cost to live. And I was in terror. Things were upside down and sideways. And what I've come to find through working the steps in yet another program is that things are often so connected, and that I can recognize by working the steps in other programs, like different variations of, not taking care of myself, right? Like a lot of this just comes down to, for me anyway, a lack of clarity, a lack of connection to a higher power, and being sort of driven by a thousand different, I don't know what to call them, but demons almost, but a lack of discipline, looking for comfort in ways that don't really serve me, whether that's overeating, eating food that isn't really food, any junk food I consider, is that really food? It's got addictive properties. They made it that way on purpose. So I try to avoid those things, and often they begin with C, like chips, cookies, that kind of cakes. It's like, what is with that about that in the C's? But anyway, I had a sponsor once who said, swore by the five C's. I don't even remember what they are, specific foods, but so anyway, just to circle back, I'm eternally grateful for OA because it was like a deeper dive into greater clarity for me. All of these things go hand in hand for me. And I do, in the last like 5 years, I've tried different forms of meditation. I've done it sporadically, off and on. And the last like 3 years is the first time I have been incredibly consistent with meditation. And it has proven hugely important for me, and especially the last year and a half. I don't think I would have gotten through the last year and a half of my life without it. It has just helped me to recognize that I have a higher power, and I always have, but that I have chosen to disconnect from it at times. And so meditation is my way of checking in to see, am I connected? And if not, what do I need to be connected? I think with that, I'll pass. I'd love to hear from others. And if you would like a topic, I think just, whatever keeps you abstinent today, or anything that's going on with you. I read the, I often read the For Today. And I don't weigh and measure my food, but I do weigh myself because that's part of how I get vague. I don't do it every day, but I do it, once a week. And, and within a 4 pound swing. I mean, I'm not, I don't want to ever get too crazy because I had a tendency many years ago to be a little anorexic. But, just so that I don't get more than 5 pounds out of range. And I had a hip replacement this year, so I did gain probably 6 or 8 pounds in my recovery. But, it's not so much about the weight for me. I think there have been moments when it has been, but it's about being healthy, and both doctors said to me, we're not worrying about your weight. You need food to heal. Please don't try to control or manage that. She was like, oh, you don't understand, but okay. And I talked with my sponsor about that and what that would mean and all of that. So I think listening to my healthcare providers, but also checking in with what the thoughts I had about that with a sponsor or a fellow OA member is really good. So for a topic, whatever's going on with you today, the reading was really good this morning, the For Today, I started to say that. And I love just the For Today. I look at my past in order to understand myself and in order to let the past go. Life can only be understood backwards, but it must be lived forwards. So, letting go of not sitting in shame or what I did or beating myself up, right? Like, what can I do today that is going to be the most healthful and supportive of my recovery? So, thanks, friends. I'm going to pass and open it up.